Welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my favorite story. Last time we met Kate, a woman who couldn't wait to find the end to her legend of her werewolf. We also met Zane, a man bound to a goddess. This is the next chapter of A Touch Divine by Christy DeBach, available on Amazon and at www.christydebach.com. It's time to wake up, a man's voice said over the sound of the gears grinding in her beloved Jeep. Kate's eyes opened as she took in her surroundings. You're dressed, she said in astonishment. She felt heat rise through her cheeks. How the bloody hell are these contraptions driven? My neck feels like I have wrenched it all the way around. If you wreck my car, I will kill you. Kate weighed her options. The man had obviously drugged her, kidnapped her, and stolen her car. The latter infuriated her the most. She knew that by all rights, she should get as far away from this man as possible. It was her curiosity that did her in. It was always her curiosity. It's just a car. One might question the sanity of being concerned with a mode of transportation when one's own situation is rather precarious. The man had the audacity to wink at her. The wink sent her over the edge. He would learn not to assume he had control of the situation he placed himself in. Stop, Kate commanded while asking for power from the goddess Noxia, whom she worshipped. The goddess answered her with resounding effect. It was as if the entire world had stopped spinning. The car immediately died. The very wind calmed. The birds froze in the sky. It's not wise to threaten what you do not know, Kate said to the man who now gaped at her. Get out of my car. It's not wise to show your hand before you know the wager. The man's voice was low. Kate felt a tremor of fear. She'd never had a man continue to face her after a show of her abilities. The rest had run as far and as fast as they could to escape. The small hairs on her arm rose, and a chill ran through her. Not one to ignore internal warnings, she unbuckled her seatbelt and bolted from the car as fast as her legs would carry her. She went about 15 feet away when she heard him command, "Halt!" Her whole body froze. She couldn't seem to take another step forward. To see if she could move back, she took a step behind her and discovered that she could move toward him, but not away. In her 32 years on this green earth, Kate had never found herself in a position of not being in control. "So it's a battle you want?" she asked. As she spoke, she began drawing the surrounding energies, calling upon Noxia again for help. No. The sincerity of his word caused her to turn and face him. Why am I here? You could have taken the car and been on your way. That would be stealing. Kidnapping is a better idea? She didn't even attempt to keep the sarcasm from her voice. I prefer to think of it as implied consent. You'll come to no harm from me. I require your help. Consider it repayment for having an ancestor who caused me to lose 500 years of my life. Kate realized she would have helped him anyway. A walking, breathing, speaking relic was an archaeologist's dream. She walked back to the car. I do, or do not do, based on my own actions. I will neither pay for a crime committed by another, nor feel compelled to right something when I did no wrong. Her own curiosity was going to be her undoing. She was dying to know what magic he used that left her unable to advance after she'd left the car. Is there no way you will help me then? He asked. Try asking. Will you assist me? First, I want your word that you'll do nothing to inhibit my actions again. I give it. Your actions will be your own. I'm dying to ask what you are, but that would be rude, so I'll settle for whom. Who are you? She asked. Zane de Seville. That's not even remotely amusing. Do you want my help or not? She demanded. Why would my name be a source of amusement? If you expect me to lift a finger to help you, I suggest picking another name. She prayed he'd just searched through her archives and randomly chose that name. It is my name. Your loss. I refuse to help the goddess Noxia's assassin. Kate wrapped her arms around her chest and turned away from him, her posture in full defiance. How is it that you know my name at all after all this time? The idiot appeared not to notice the hatred she directed at him. It's my job to understand the past. It figured of all the things she would bring back from centuries lost, it would be the one man who lived to destroy the lives of people who stood against the gods. I killed only those who betrayed the goddess. Along with their husbands and their children. No, I would not harm an innocent, he said. If he had spoken in any other tone, she would have known for certain he was lying. There was a subtle hurt underneath his words. It spoke to her unlike anything else he could have said. She knew she was damning herself to the unknown, but she believed him. Well, this will be interesting. A road trip with the woman who studies the history of the goddesses and the werewolf who kills for them, Kate quipped, leaning against the hood of the car. Truly, you are a historian? Zane asked. I've made it my quest to uncover what really happened to my ancestor, the one you call Katsiana, she said. What is the name of your family? He inquired. Kate thought for a moment about giving him something other than the truth. Eddington. She spent much of her life denying her family name after being unceremoniously dumped in foster care without a thought to her mental state. Noxia's blessed ones. He sounded surprised. Oh, yes, blessed is the term I'd use. Try instead the abandoned and forgotten. She could not keep the bitterness out of her voice. Things have surely changed over the last 500 years if a member of the blessed family struggled. I no longer hold any ill will toward the family that created me. I'm sure they had their reasons for doing what they did. But don't expect me to be a member of their fan club. Kate halted the flood of memories before they could overwhelm her. She avoided thinking about what she had lost. It's an honor to meet you, Kate of the Eddington line. Why were you at your place of work in the wee hours of the morning and not at home with your husband? Sexist or not, she appreciated the change of topic. I tried marriage once. I believe the next time I think about it, I'll have myself committed. Well, marriage is a commitment, he said. No, by committed I mean locked up in a nut ward, psychiatric hospital, home for the crazies, insane asylum. She felt the first smile since she'd awakened tug at her lips. This is preferable to marriage, Zane said. That or a bullet to the head. So are you really a werewolf, or is that just myth? She inquired, changing the subject yet again. Tell me of the myth, and I'll tell you if it's true, Zane said with a smile. It galled her that his smile made her insides flutter. Well, we better resume our road trip after I tell you of your multiple misdeeds. She laughed to let him know she was teasing. Zane looked up at her from the driver's seat. You'll help me still, even though you know who I am. The look on his face made Kate want to kiss him. The thought took her by surprise. It was one thing to be curious about the man, but the thought of kissing should have made her blood run cold. How did you learn to drive? She asked. He looked at her for a moment as if wanting to say something else before he said, One might say it was a gift from the goddess. I've learned to be careful with gifts from the goddess. They often come at a high price, she said. I know that lesson well. I don't believe I've mastered the task. Would you prefer to drive? I'd rather you not kill me for breaking your jeep, he said as he opened the car door and got out, leaving the keys in the ignition. I'll drive. It's not every day I get to drive around with a man like you, she flashed him a grin. He looked perplexed by her words, which only made her want to smile again. He intrigued her on levels she didn't even understand. She had many questions that she wanted to ask him. When she wanted to know more about the activities of her ex-husband, she had discovered that not only was he a cheating, lying bastard, but he was also a fraud. After that, Kate gave in to her curiosity instead of holding it at bay. Then there was the legend of her ancestral great-great-great-whatever-how-many grandmothers. Quest to kill the goddess's eternal warrior, the same man who wound up naked on her examination table. "You have fallen silent," he remarked. "I was thinking about why bring you back now? I mean, other than I imagine it's nice to return to the living, I'm the only one left, and I have no intention of siding against the goddess. Who am I to question her plan? I've spent half a millennium buried under a druid circle because I dared to allow a fallen woman a second chance." It was as if the last puzzle piece fell into place. "Katiana," she asked. "She repaid me by turning the townsmen against me. In the frenzy of fear and ignorance, my death was neither quick nor painless." His voice held an edge that sent shivers down her spine. "Perhaps she had a valid reason for doing what she did." Kate tried to sound casual because she knew it was a touchy subject. "There is no excuse for what she did," he said. "Yet here you are now, among the land of the living. I'd say that's reason enough." Kate sat in the driver's seat. She stared at him, waiting for him to join her in the car. "You're wrong," he said. "Wouldn't be the first time," she replied. "Where to?" "The county of Westchester in the state of New York," he said. "City?" she asked. "Chappaqua." "Pleasant area. It's going to be a long drive. You should rest. I guarantee my driving will give you a heart attack." She glanced at him out of the corner of her eye. He was staring at her again. "As long as I arrive in one piece and above ground, I will not complain," he said. "Oh, darling, that's a given," she chuckled. She sent a silent word of thanks to her ex-husband, who bought the GPS after she caught him with his 19-year-old grad student's legs around his neck and his face buried in the space between them. He'd never been really good with gifts. "So, werewolf, myth or fact?" She glanced at him again. "I prefer shapeshifter." "Then fact." "Yes, it's my turn." "Your turn?" she asked. "A question for a question," he said. "Okay, your turn," Kate said with a smile. "Why do you work with bones?" "To find you." Kate pretended to be engrossed with her driving so she didn't have to look at him. "A moment ago, my name caused you nothing but disgust. Why would you seek to find me?" "Well, I didn't know that I was looking for Zane de Seville. I thought I was looking for the man with the answer to Katiana's mystery." "What mystery?" "Katiana disappeared not long after the townspeople destroyed her werewolf. I can only assume now that meant you. No one knows what happened to her, just what she put in her journals that were uncovered about 50 years ago." Kate paused as she kept old ghosts at bay. "One would hope she died a horrible death." "That's a horrible thing to say about the woman who probably saved your life." "If the townspeople hadn't have separated you and buried you in silver, Goddess Noxia would have destroyed you for disobeying her." "I had gone there to fulfill the goddess's decree. I would have survived," he said. "So let me see if I understand this. You carried 500 years worth of hate for a woman who had you killed before you had the chance to kill her." "She might not have agreed with every decision her ancestor made, but in a murderous world, she wouldn't have laid down and died like a dog either." "Fate entwined our lives. You bear the face of the woman who had me killed and come from a family I'm sworn to protect." She probed his mind to find any secrets hidden there. "According to the history I found, Zane de Seville, the assassin of the goddess Noxia, was to kill Katiana Eddington, not protect her. There's far more to that story than what would have been in the pages of a young girl's diary," he said. "Were the two of you in love?" she asked. Though she already knew that answer, she found Katiana's journal, all but the one right before her death. "I failed her, and she was to be put to death because of it. I watched her grow from a child to a woman, and I loved her as a father would his daughter." She scanned his thoughts once more to learn if he spoke the truth. It went against what she learned through the journals. That makes little sense. They sentenced Katiana to death for betraying the goddess. She betrayed her for love. The journal spoke of an endless, undying love.
Who was the object of Katiana's love? He asked. From what I could gather, he was called Nikolai Motinow. He heard her slow exhale of breath. Zane felt a moment's pity for the woman who would eternally pay for the life of another. He wondered if he knew just how deeply her life intertwined with Katiana's. That's impossible, he responded. It's what Katiana wrote in her journal. She glanced at him out of the corner of her eye. Having known both Nikolai and Katiana well, I can assure you theirs was not a love-based relationship. He took a moment to look at the woman beside him. She carried within her the light of the goddess. While not a beauty in the classical sense, she had a commanding appearance. Her brown hair brushed just above her shoulders. She twirled her hair around her finger, lost in thought. She was tall for a woman. He had towered over the woman of his day. It was the thing Zane appreciated the most about her. He enjoyed having the ability to look into her eyes without straining his neck. At 6'4", it was not always the case. Whereas Katiana had kept her hair, tresses in curls, Kate wore hers straight and tapered at the neck. The color was a little different as well. Kate's hair bore streaks kissed by the sun. The feature that stood out most was her eyes. Kate's eyes were arresting. The first time he'd looked into them, he'd found himself lost. It was the sense of deja vu that caused him to recover from the spell those eyes cast upon him. He'd already paid for the consequences of being lost in those green eyes once before. Zane? Her voice brought him out of the temporary musing. She stared at him, and he realized he must have asked something. Forgive me, what? He asked. I'd say a penny for your thoughts, but I'm not at all sure that I want to know. You knew Nikolai and Katiana? I knew them both well. He debated for a moment, telling her the truth. According to Katiana's journals, she loved him enough to defy the goddess, surrendering her powers to him, Kate said. Pity she didn't just do that. Nikolai would have had a better chance of survival if she had, he responded. She did, Kate said. I was there the day Nokolo died. Katiana still had full use of her powers. Those powers played an integral part in his death, Zane said as he tried to keep the bitterness out of his voice. That makes no sense, Kate said. Why? If she didn't defy the goddess, thus surrendering her power, how did you even know her? Why were you called to end her life, which caused you to be imprisoned in Silver? She asked. Zane tried not to return to the fateful day where he paid for the crime of another. The thundering of the hooves roared through his mind as his memory sent a shockwave of pain through his joints and a reminder of what he lived through. It was not for love that Katiana surrendered her abilities, he replied. Why would she lie in her journals? We did not discover them for over 400 years after her death. The same reason goddesses allowed the humans to unearth me. They don't like loose ends. There are no coincidences in this life. Katiana knew that. She knew that she would rise once more and wanted to leave a trail of her existence, one befitting the good graces of the goddess, Zane said. The journals speak of desire so strong, she would wait eternities for the chance to have it again, Kate said. Katiana held love for no one. But Katiana, if what you say is in those journals, it is because Katiana saw fit to find sympathy from the reader. No, she said, as if he asked a question. No. No, she replied without further explanation. Zane found a newfound respect for the woman beside him. She held her composure well in a situation that was beyond her control. He studied her as she drove. Want to hear what I think? She asked, breaking her silence. Of course. I am fairly certain that you and Nikolai are one. I also think that Katiana loved you so deeply that she gave up what was rightfully hers. You also denied the goddess her revenge by not killing Katiana. Katiana then angered the goddess further by having you killed so you couldn't regenerate. She did this to save your life from the wrath of the one seriously pissed off goddess. Zane could do nothing beyond staring at the woman beside him. She may be the image of Katiana, but that was where the similarities ended. I didn't think you loved her in return. I think you liked her, enjoyed her company perhaps, but as you said, it was not a love relationship. She added the last little bit with a triumphant smile. Though part of what she said was accurate, the reality was she underestimated her goddess. He opened his mouth to speak, but shut it. Her version might be the best for those involved until he found out what was going on. Don't worry. I know I'm right. I am always right. She laughed at her own wit. For one so clever, where do you fit to this melodrama? Ah, that is the easiest of all. You plan to use me, the last living member of the goddess, blessed ones, to bargain for your freedom. The moment she discovers you are above ground, all hell's gonna break loose. Zane could have told her that the goddesses already knew that he had returned to the living plane. She wasn't wrong about his intent to use her. He knew what the future held for the woman with the light of the goddess within her. The 500 years he spent alone gave him time to reflect upon his life. He wished to end his servitude with the goddess, but knew that the only reason the goddesses would allow him to awaken was to kill. Did you know that all of those you hunted had specific talents? The blessed ones, chosen ones, witches, whatever you prefer to call them? She asked. I know that, yes. What does that have to do with? Zane paused. Bloody hell. You're a telepath. I'm special as far as abilities are concerned. I have read you like an open book since the moment you woke. Her eyes sparkled as she looked at him. He didn't know whether he wanted to laugh at the sheer insanity he found himself in or howl in frustration. Why help me then? He asked, genuinely curious. I spent my entire life in the shadow of a dead woman. Do you know what it's like to be seen as the reincarnation of a woman who betrayed her family, who betrayed her goddess? My family couldn't handle it, so they tossed me out to the nearest group home. Kate paused. They had foretold that Katiana would return. She would have her revenge against the man for whom she gave everything up, only to receive nothing in return. Then I'm born with her face. Zane thought for a moment about her words, only this time shielding them from Kate. She chuckled softly in acknowledgement of his efforts. I'm trying to understand. You are helping me to free yourself from her shadow? Are you so certain that you aren't Katiana reborn? He knew the answer, but he wanted her to respond anyway. Katiana was a mediocre witch. It is by that alone, I'm certain, Kate replied with a smug tone. I believe Katiana would have gouged out your eyes for calling her mediocre. She wouldn't have responded well to that, Zane said. So, you are more than mediocre?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
I thought you'd never ask.
She took one hand off the steering wheel and snapped her fingers. At the sound of her fingers, life itself stopped. Zane stared around in wonderment. He knew she had stopped time. This was ability far beyond that of a witch. He wondered if she knew the implications. No mortal witch could stop time. Is time lost when you stop it? He asked, unable to keep the shock from his voice.
Nope. As far as I can tell, it has no effect at all on life.
Can you alter the present? He asked.
Yes.
She snapped her fingers again and time resumed. That is incredible, he said.
As far as I can tell, I have within me the abilities of the elements, time, and space.
I can't heal,
though, or at least I don't know how, she said.
Then why are we still driving? He asked.
I didn't want to freak you out, and I enjoy driving.
Enough to drive for another 18 hours?
Good point.
She replied and flicked her wrist forward, waving her fingertips into the wind. Zane's vision blurred. He blinked to clear his eyes. When he opened them, it amazed him to find they were nowhere near their destination. As far as he could tell, they were in the middle of nowhere. The Jeep she had seconds ago been driving had disappeared. There was a shack of some sort he could see off in the distance, but that was the only building around for miles. If you were aiming for a vacation spot, might I recommend something with a bit more life? He said. This is impossible, she exclaimed as she stomped around in varying directions. Zane coughed into his hand to cover the laugh that erupted from it at the annoyed look on her face. A sudden urge to kiss her senseless overwhelmed him.